Okay.
Sponsorship.
So first of all, somebody stop. I think Jackie Schlanger, I think. Okay. First of all, this week's shiur is sponsored by Judy and Ken Goldman in memory of Judy's father, Aaron Usher ben Moshe Yaakov Zatzal, whose yahrzeit is the 5th of Shvat, Abraham Flax, and in memory of Ken's father, Eliyahu ben Yehuda Zal, yahrzeit is the 6th of Shvat. His name is Alan Goldman. Thank you very, very much for that. Okay, we have finally made it to a parsha that has real mitzvos, but I don't really want to talk about one of the mitzvos in the parsha. I want to talk about an offshoot of a mitzvah in the parsha. The mitzvah in the parsha is Kiddush HaChodesh. The mitzvah I want to talk about is the mitzvah d'Rabbanan of Kiddush Levana. It is obviously related to Kiddush HaChodesh, but it is not the same. There are many, many fascinating aspects of the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. Okay, first is we got to tell ourselves the truth. It seems a little bit weird, like moon worship. You know, you go outside. You know, we're supposed to avoid doing the things that we now do. Go outside and bless the moon. You know, it sounds like something that a tribe in, you know, deep in Africa does, but not religious Jews. Second issue, more halachic, is what type of bracha is this? You know, is it sort of the type of bracha like, I don't know, like thunder and lightning? Okay, if you happen to see it, you make a bracha, or is it more of a mitzvah? Is it more of a birchas mitzvah that once a month we are commanded to bless the moon, whatever that means? And three, of course, halacha lemaisa. You know, how early in the month can you do it? How late in the month are you supposed to look at the moon? All the kinds of things that if you're the way to know that you're genuinely from is that you fight with other people about Kiddush Levana. That's my experience. You know, somebody says Kiddush Levana tonight. Somebody else says, no, it's too early. You can't do Kiddush Levana tonight. You're staring at the moon. You're not staring at the moon. All these things we're going to discuss today. Okay, let's start in this week's parsha. Hang on. The pasuk says, HaChodesh hazeh lachem rosh chadashim, rishonu lachem lechadshei hashana. Okay? This pasuk, of course, is the source for the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush HaChodesh. That is done by Beis Din. That is the establishment of our calendar. Beis Din decides when Rosh Chodesh is, and obviously everything else in our world revolves around the date. So Yomim Tovim revolve around the date, not just Rosh Chodesh. Okay, all of that was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Beis Din as our representatives, okay, to establish. That's easy. The Gemara then has a limud. Okay, this is a limud that goes not to Kiddush HaChodesh, but to our topic, Kiddush Levana. And the Gemara says in source number 2, Sanhedrin Mem Bet Amud Aleph, Va'amar Rav Acha Bar Chanina Amar Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol HaMivarech Al HaChodesh Bizmano, anybody who blesses the month in its proper time, that's Kiddush Levana. Ki'ilu Kabel Pnei Shechina. It's as if he's welcoming God. What's the limud? Source number 1, that pasuk in this week's parsha. Uksiv Hasam, and we read in next week's parsha during Shir Asayam. So the drasha is literally, this is my God, and I will glorify him. Similarly, if you bless the month, it's like you're blessing God, which I think just strengthens the question I asked at the beginning. But the moon is not God. In fact, if you look in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in the first parak in the Rambam, which everybody should read at some point, it's really short. It's sort of like a concise history of Avodah Zarah. So there the Rambam says, I don't get it. Adam and Chava knew that there was a God. They communicated with that God. Why didn't they just tell their children? How did it be that so quickly people turned to Avodah Zarah when, you know, for the first 1,000 years, 930 years of humanity, there was a person alive who actually knew there was a God and that God created the world? So why would it be? So the Rambam says, no, everybody knew. What happened was people found it difficult to pray to and to worship a God who couldn't be seen and touched and felt. Just he was too distant. So people said, you know what? Let's bless the moon. Let's bless the sun, not because they're gods. Of course they're not. But let's bless them as representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because it's too hard to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to daven to him. We can't see him. But we can see his creations. So let's bless them. And of course, in a short period of time, people forgot that they were blessing the sun and the moon and the stars as representatives of God's creation. And they thought they had independent power, that the sun and the moon and the stars had independent power. And they started worshiping them. That's how, according to the Rambam, Avodah Zarah came to exist in the world. Which strengthens our question of why in the world would God want us to go outside and bless the moon? So the Torah Tmima, who isn't normally one of the first sources that we do, but he has an interesting idea. Source number three, the Torah Tmima on our pasuk says, Yesh lomar, mishum de'inyan chidush ha'levana, more al hanhagat ha'kadosh baruch hu ha'olam, v'chidushav chadashim lebekarim. Because the moon represents God's, you know, mastery or ownership of the world, and how every day is a new day. V'chidushav chadashim lebekarim, and that nature changes and the world changes every day. V'hamivarech al hachodesh, a person who blesses the month, meaning the moon, havei kemo shemeid begalui al hanhagat hakadosh baruch hu ha'olam v'roe bichvodo. Somehow, the moon is a metaphor for how God runs the world. And when we acknowledge the moon, when we acknowledge the new moon, we're at the same time acknowledging that God runs the world. Va'ala posuk ze keli va'andeyu, dorshu gamkein shera'u kfodo alayam bigalui, kfi sheyitbar lefaneinu sham. Right, he says, the Gemara here in Sanhedrin, source number two, it's not just an exaggeration or gzereshava zezeh. It's that when the Jews at Yamsuf, whatever it means to see God, it was just like we see the moon. What does that mean? Why was it easier to see God at Yamsuf? Because you saw his handiwork. Because if you were there, you realized God is now splitting the sea. And presumably, when the new moon comes, we're supposed to see God's hand in nature. Again, almost everything else in nature, you know, the sun, the stars, they're static. You can't see change in them. But the moon, you know, to use a phrase, waxes and wanes. And the moon has become a metaphor, not just for God, but for Klal Yisrael, right? Sometimes we're more dominant. Sometimes we're at risk of disappearing. And all of a sudden, you know, that's what happens to the lunar cycle. And, you know, great thinkers in Judaism have for a long, long time referred to the moon as a metaphor for us. In that, you know, when the Beis Hamikdash existed, you know, we were the dominant force in the world. And then we went down. You know, now we're coming back. The fact that the moon appears and disappears on a cycle represents the Jewish people. And maybe the deeper idea, we have a lunar cycle. I'm sorry, not just a lunar calendar. We have a lunar calendar, right? Everything in our calendar is essentially based on the waxing and waning of the moons. So somehow, whatever it means, the moon disappearing and reappearing represents God's mastery of the world and God's running of the world and the fact that nature exists, but nature exists only at God's will. Okay, so much for a little bit of a philosophy to start us off. Let's turn then to the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh for a second, because it impacts on our mitzvah. Okay, Rashi on our pasuk of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem in source number four says, what does it mean HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? This is a different drasha. Her'ehu levana b'chidusha. God showed Moshe Rabbeinu the new moon, which is like kind of microscopic. Va'amarlo, and he said to him, Kishehayoreach mitchadesh, when the moon reappears, Yihiyalacha Rosh Chodesh. Okay, that will be a sign that it's Rosh Chodesh. What day did God appear to Moshe Rabbeinu? What day does Parak Yud Bet of Parshas Bo take place on? The answer is what we now understand to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you see this new moon? This new moon is the beginning of the new calendar year for the Jewish people. Now, what do we do with the fact that that's not true? We all know that we celebrate Rosh Hashanah, and that Rosh Hashanah is not Aleph Nisan, it's Aleph Tishrei. And we all know that we say, you know, Hayom Haras Olam, we sing it on Rosh Hashanah. We say a whole bunch of other things in davening that make clear that we believe that Tishrei is the creation of the world, not Nisan. How do we resolve that? So the Ramban says very simply in source number 5, also on the pasuk we've been dealing with at the beginning of Yud Bet. V'ta'am ha'chodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodashim, says the Ramban, the reason why, she'yimnu oto Yisrael chodesh harishon, that the Jewish people, the mitzvah is for the Jewish people to count Nisan as the first month, u'mimenu yimnu kala chodashim, Sheni Ushlishi Ad Tashlum Hashana Bishne Masar Chodesh. Right? So if the mitzvah is not just to count Nisan as one, but the mitzvah is to count this month, Shvat, as 11. Every month that we count from Nisan constitutes a kiyum of the mitzvah of Achodesh Zelachem. Why? So he says, Kideshi Yihyez Zez Zikaron B'neis Hagadol. Because when we say Shvat is the 11th month of the year, so somebody says, wait, what makes it the 11th month of the year? And then the answer is, well, because we're counting from the great miracle of the Exodus from Egypt. Ki b'chol eid she'nazkir ha'chadoshim, yihyeh ha'nes nizkar. Anytime you announce what number month it is, you realize that you're counting months from the miracle of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Va'al Kain, he says, Ein lachadoshim shem ba'Torah. Nisan doesn't exist in the Torah. Adar doesn't exist in the Torah. There are no names. Every reference in the Torah as Ela, Yomar, Bachodesh Ashilishi. Every single reference in the Torah to a date counts the months from Yitzias Mitzrayim. Again, we could talk about earlier in the Torah, in Parshas Noach, it's a little less clear what you're counting from. But once God gave Moshe the mitzvah of Achodesh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, we counted from Nisan. What's this like, says the Ramban? It's just like Shabbos. Ukemo shetiya hazichira biyom haShabbat, bimnoteinu mimenu echad b'Shabbat, b'sheni b'Shabbat, says the Ramban. The mitzvah of Zachar Yom HaShabbat L'Kadosho, according to the Ramban, is not just fulfilled on Shabbos. The mitzvah can be fulfilled and should be fulfilled every day of the week. How does that happen? It happens by saying Hayom Yom Shishi B'Shabbat, which means not just that today is the sixth day of the week or Friday, but that today is the sixth day and there's one more day. It's Erev Shabbos. Says the Ramban, every day, if you recognize the day of the week in relationship to Shabbos, you are being Mekadosh to Shabbos by reminding yourself of Shabbos every day of the week, right? Some people claim that for the Ramban, you know, saying Hayom, saying the Yom in the morning, or saying the first line of the Yom, is sort of a kiyum of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Zachar Yom HaShabbat L'Kadosho, which is why, for example, let's say, oh, I don't know, on a Wednesday, you're running late and you don't want to say the Shir Shal Yom, it could be you should still say Hayom Yom Revi'i B'Shabbat, because that is a reminder of the fact that the most important day of the week is Shabbos, and remembering it even on weekdays. Okay? Now, Kach HaZichira B'Yitziat Mitzrayim. Same thing with Yitziat Mitzrayim. B'Mnoteinu Achodesh HaRishon V'Achodesh HaSheni V'Hashlishi L'Geulateinu. She'ein ha-minyan hazeh l'shana. The Ramban acknowledges it's not historically true. Why? She'rei t'chilat shnoteinu mi-tishrei. No surprise, the Ramban says the world's created in Tishrei. So why do we count from Nisan? Not because it's the beginning of the year, but because we want to remind ourselves of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And so our calendar was set up to remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay? Now, how do we get the names of months, which aren't even Hebrew words? So he says, now, the names of months are Babylonian or Persian, and we brought them back when we returned to build the second Beis HaMikdash. So why did they get names? Originally, days, year, months were counted Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim, as we described. Aval kasher alinu chazarnu likra chadashim b'shem shenikra'im b'eretz Bavel lahazkir ki sham amadnu u'misham ha'alanu Hashem yitbarach. The names we have for months now are to remind us of the second Geula, right? Shvat doesn't mean anything in Hebrew. And Tammuz is probably some kind of Persian god. But it reminds us that God redeemed us a second time. I will admit that you get the sense in the Ramban that he'd rather we didn't call them by those names, right? It'd be better if we just kept with, you know, numbers. And I could tell you, Rav Meidan, my Rosh Yeshiva, who believes deeply in these things, he told me that when he signs checks in Israel, he writes that the numbers he uses are, so example, if he wrote a check today, it would be 4, it's the fourth day of the month, 11, it's the 11th month of the year, 336, because it's 3,336 years from Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are people who actually do this. And even if we don't do it, you know, it's still good to be, remember all these things as we do it. At some point when I used to be very, very religious, I stopped writing numbers on checks. I would be makbid to write the month out, which seemed, it wasn't like a bittul of this mitzvah. Okay, but that's when I was very, very religious. Okay, but it is something we should keep in mind, to know the dates and to sort of follow it in Hebrew and know that, again, this is the 11th month. I will point out that this month, this year has 13 months, right? There are two others this year, but nevertheless, it's the 11th month from Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay. That's sort of the connection to Kiddush HaChodesh and the background. Again, you know, the calendar in our religion isn't just a way to keep time or to keep dates, right? It's based deeply on our history. Good. Now, let's return to Halacha. Source number 6. What type of bracha is Kiddush HaChodesh? Again, we'll talk about it in a second. Baruch atah Hashem, okay, Asher Baruch, Asher b'mamor v'ash chakim. It doesn't say Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu. So what kind of bracha is it? And more importantly, what is our obligation to say Kiddush Levana? Okay, so here we go. Source number 6. Here's the Rambam. You know, a lot of times when you, the reason why briskers love Rambams is because it's all systemized and categorized. So you're allowed, you say to yourself, well, where the Rambam puts something in the Yad HaChazaka has a big impact on how he views it. So for example, let's look at this. This is the Perek in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Yud, that we will find our bracha in. Here's the first halacha in the Perek. Brachot acherot udvarim acherim harbei, She'ein bahem piticha v'lo chatima, tiknu chachamim derech shavach v'hodaya l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Rambam, there's a whole bunch of brachos that aren't long brachos. They don't have openings and closings, but they are praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kimo birchot ha'tfila shekvar kasavnum, some brachos in tfila, ve'elu hein. Here, now the Rambam says, here's a bunch of brachos that we make that are praises of God. You build a new house, you buy a new house, you buy new clothing. Whether you have or not. Now we would all recognize there's no date on which we're obligated to make a shehecheyanu. There are events that generate the obligation to make shehecheyanu, right? Nobody thinks they have to buy something new today. Have to eat a new fruit in order to make a shehecheyanu. What people understand is, if I buy new clothing, I have to make a Shehecheyanu. Okay? Now, to make it even clearer, so that's the beginning of the parak. Look at source number 7, Halacha Tezayin in that parak. The Rambam says, Horoek Keshet Be'anan, if you see a rainbow, and now us. And we'll do this in a second. Etc. The Rambam categorizes the bracha of Kiddush Levana like the bracha on a rainbow, like the bracha of, I don't know, of thunder, of lightning. Again, not something we're obligated to do, but something that, it, you know, if we happen to be in a circumstance where we see this thing, right? If we hear, you know, no one ever, well, maybe somebody did, but, you know, get a call from your friend, I could see a rainbow. Get in the car, drive over here. You have a mitzvah. No. If you see a rainbow, so you make a bracha. But you don't have to chase rainbows. And you don't have to chase storms to hear thunder and lightning. And the Rambam continues in Yud Zayin. On the one hand, it seems like just another bracha, but the Rambam says in Yud Zayin, "V'tzarich levarich bracha zo me'umad." The bracha has to be made standing. Shekol ha'mevarich al hachodesh bizmano. Anybody who blesses the month at its appropriate time, meaning Kiddush Levana, ki'ilu hikpil pnei hashchina. That's the Gemara we saw in Sanhedrin at the beginning. Okay, and now, well, so let's stop here for a second. So let's take a minute. What is the bracha? So back into the Rambam. The Rambam's nusach of the bracha is pretty much identical to ours with tiny changes. How does it work? So the Rambam says, where my cursor is, Asher, and it's interesting to really understand it. Asher b'ma'amaro barash chakim. Through his ma'amar, right, through his word, he created shchakim, you know, tight nature, let's say. What does it mean, Asher b'ma'amaro? So that's, it's simple. How is the world created? Vayomer Elokim yihi or Vayomer Elokim tacher. It's Vayomer Elokim. Hu amar vayehi. God said, and it came into being. So b'ma'amaro, he created the world. Uberuach piv kol tziva'am. And through the breath of his mouth, all of creation. I'm less sure what this means, because certainly uberuach piv, human beings, right? God gave us of his breath, and that made us human. I don't know how this applies to other creations. It's not exactly clear to me. Okay, but what did God establish? Chok uzman natan lahem. Nature. He made rules like gravity, like day and night. Shelo yishanu etafkidam. Now, the rules of nature are that they're not supposed to change. The sun is supposed to come up every day, you know, and the stars come out every night, et cetera, et cetera. The rules of nature are, I don't know, immutable. Now, that's funny because the moon changes shape all the time, or at least our perception of it is. Sasimu smechim lasod ritzon konam. Nature are thrilled. They're happy to do the will of their creator. Po'ale emet. They work in truth. Upulatam. We have Upulatam Emet, he has Tzedek. Now we come to the moon. Vila Livana Amar Shetit Chadesh Atarat Tiferet Lamu Sebaten. God specifically told the moon to reappear periodically every month to be a crown Lamu Sebaten for those who are carried in the womb, for human beings. Why? And here it is, it's so beautiful. Sheheim. Atidin lehitchadesh kimota, because we Jews will also reappear or recreate ourselves just like the moon. Ulefa'er liyotzram alkvod malchuta, to celebrate God for all that he created. Baruch ata Hashem mechadesh chadashim. So a lot of the ideas we suggested appear actually in this tefillah. God created nature, but specifically he created the moon because the moon changes, and the moon is a metaphor for us who also change throughout history. Okay, so it's a regular bracha, but it's kind of a beautiful regular bracha according to the Rambam. Now, in the next halacha, the Rambam starts to hint at other issues we have to look at. Im lo beirech aleha b'leil ha'rishon, The Rambam says, if you didn't make a bracha on the first night, not clear that he really means the first night, because we pasken and you can't do Kiddush Levana on the first night. So he says, Mevarech aleha ad shisha sayom b'chodesh, ad shetimbalei pigimata. We'll come back to this, but obviously, from the first day of the month through the 15th, the moon gets bigger, right? The 15th of the month, all our holidays, there's a full moon. Then on the 16th, it starts to get smaller till on the last day of the month, it disappears. So the Rama, so clearly what the Rama is saying is, you know, when the moon, you have to bless the moon when the moon is new. Well, the moon is new for the first half of the month. Okay. That's important. And that's an idea we'll come back to. Okay. And certainly in Hashkaf and in Kabbalah, the whole Pigimas Halavana, I don't really understand it. But it plays a big role in Machshava, that the moon was, you know, everybody knows the Medrash, the moon complained, you know, that he can't serve together with the sun, and so God made the moon smaller. Okay, all of that is way beyond me. But at least what I do understand on the halachic side is the Rambam seems to categorize Kiddush Levana with a whole bunch of other Birchos HaShevachs or Birchos Hodah, where, you know, nobody thinks you have to drive to the Yam HaGadol. If you come to the Yam HaGadol, you have to make a bracha sha'asa lanu neis b'makom hazeh. Okay, like all other brachas of that type. But there's another possibility. Again, the Rambam's position seems to be, right? If you see the moon, it's the new moon. It's mechayev you in a bracha, but there's another approach, which is no, there's an obligation to say Kiddush Levana. There's a mitzvah d'rabbanan to say Kiddush Levana every month. Just there's a technicality. You can only make the bracha if you see the moon. But the obligation is there, you know, all the time. So for example, you have an obligation to eat matzah. Maybe this is such a great example on Leila Seder. Okay, but you need the matzah there to be Mekayim the mitzvah. The mitzvah applies, but you need something. So we need the moon in order to be Mekayim this mitzvah, but it is a mitzvah and it's an obligation. Now, who holds this way? The Noda B'Yehuda. Who cares? Well, we care because it's one of the greatest tshuvos ever, because the question is so fantastic and it will get us into the details that we want to discuss. Here's the question. Im hamolad shel Rosh Chodesh Adar haya be'erev Rosh Chodesh. I will explain. The molad, which is some astronomical event that I don't fully understand or can't really explain, it happens sometimes on the first day of Rosh Chodesh or sometimes before Rosh Chodesh, right? Just to be clear, a month, the lunar cycle is exactly 29 days, 12 hours, 1,248 halakim. Okay, I lied about the last part. I have no idea how many halakim, but it's 29 and a half plus some minutes. Okay, so here's the thing. No month is exact, right? We have, you know, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because the halakha is clear that months are made up only of full days, just like years are made up only of full months. So we can't cheat. That's why we have to have some months of 29, some months of 30. So the question came to the Noda B'Yehuda as follows. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me say the last thing. So how long do you have to say Kiddush Levana? You have exactly 15 days from the appearance of the Molad. Right? So some months, if the Molad is on Rosh Chodesh, you could say Kiddush Levana on the 15th. On other months, you can only say Kiddush Levana, you know, on the 14th. That's the last day. Okay? So, the question is as follows. The Molad of Rosh Chodesh Adar that year was Erev Rosh Chodesh. Va'az kalaz man Kiddush Levana bepurim. Right? 15 days later is the 14th of Adar. So, the last day, the last night to say Kiddush Levana was Purim. Ba'ofen shalel yudalid. Shehilel Kriyat HaMegillah, as if you missed it. The question is going to be so great. It's the night of reading of the Megillah. He Laila Acharon Shecholim LeKadesh HaLevana. That was the last chance. And if you didn't say Kiddush Levana on that night, on the night of Purim, you missed it. Now, what was the situation? Okay, in Krakow that year, I don't know, there was bad weather. For a bunch of days in a row, it was overcast, and you couldn't see the moon. Ubalel yudalid be'emtza kriyas ha-megillah. Okay, in the middle of laying the Megillah, nitpazru ha'avim v'zarcha levana. Okay, all of a sudden the moon appeared, and the way I imagine it, you know, some little kid runs in the middle of reading Megillah, and he yells, you know, is du'a levana? You could see the moon, whatever, we should... So the question of the Huda, in Yesh Lahafsik Ba'emtza Kriyat HaMegillah LeKadesh HaLevana. Maybe we should stop laying the Megillah and run outside to be Mekadesh Levana. Why? Ki Ulai Im Yamtinu Ad Sof HaKriyah Tidkaseh Ba'avim. Because your Megillah is not going anyplace. But maybe the moon's going to get covered up again and then you'll have missed out on Kiddush Levana. Come on, it's a great question. I don't see enough people enjoying this. Okay. So the answer is as follows. V'nashuv l'dvareinu l'haktim kiddush ha-levana. He says, no, you should stop reading Megillah and go outside and say kiddush levana mishum tadir. Because kiddush levana is a monthly mitzvah and Megillah is an annual mitzvah. V'od ha-megillah v'adai lo ya'avor azman. Right? You're not going to miss the chance to finish the Megillah. V'alvana al kol panim yesh safek shema tidkaseh ba'avrim. But you might miss the levana because the clouds may come back. So, okay, the question is interesting, but the answer reveals something fundamental, right? I think if you ask this question to the Rambam would say, okay, so you missed it. You didn't see the moon. You don't have to make a bracha. But the Noda Yehuda clearly sees Kiddush Levana as obligatory, not a Birchas HaHodah or Birchas HaShevach. It's not like thunder and lightning and rainbows. You have an obligation every month to make this bracha. Now, again, the obligation can only be fulfilled if you see the bracha, if you see the moon. But the obligation is to make the bracha. So again, those are the two sides of the chakira. The Rambam seems to hold that it's like any other bracha. It's nice to make it if you can, but it's not obligatory. The Noda Yehuda seems to say, no. It's so important that you would stop Kriyas HaMegillah because this is an obligation. And it's true. It's an obligation that only can be fulfilled if you see the moon. But nevertheless, it's an absolute rabbinic obligation. Okay, so much for the fundamental chakira. One other interesting halachic sidelight, you know, helps us understand the mitzvah better. And that is, can women say Kiddush Levana? So source number 9, the Magen Avraham quotes Nashim Peturos. Why? Classic, he says. De mitzvah saseh shazman gramahu. He says, it's a classic mitzvah to say shezman grama. Why? Because it's limited by time. You can only say Kiddush Levana the first half of the month. That makes it a classic mitzvah to say shezman grama. Who disagrees with the Magen Avraham? The Rav and others. Rav Soloveitchik said it's absolutely not a mitzvah to say shezman grama. The mitzvah is, whenever you see the new moon, you're supposed to make a bracha on it. It happens to be that the new moon only appears during the first half of the month. But that doesn't change the fact that it's not a mitzvah seh shazman grama. Mitzvah seh shazman grama are date-based mitzvahs. You have to do it at a certain time. But says the Rav, Kiddush Levana is not such a mitzvah. You could do Kiddush Levana in theory anytime you wanted, so long as the new moon happens to be, there's only a new moon in the first half of the month. Now, it sounds iffy till the Rav pounds you with other examples. Here's the best one. He says, why don't we say that women are pursuers from benching? Because benching is a mitzvah seh shazman grama. You can only bench within a certain period of time of the meal. Says the Rav, of course that's not the case. It's not the case that mitzvahs that can only be done at certain times are mitzvah seh shazman grama. It's only mitzvos that are limited by date that are mitzvos aseh shazman gramas. Okay? So it's pretty compelling. And yet, I don't see a lot of women saying Kiddush Levana. Right? It's just, the minhag seems to be otherwise. So here the Magen Avraham puts out, points out something else. He says, "Va'af al gav dehem mekaymot kol mitzvat aseh kimon sukkah." Right? What difference does it make that women are peturos in Kiddush Levana? They're peturos in sukkah and they still do it with a bracha. They're peturos in shofar and they still do it with a bracha. They're peturos in lulav and they still do it with a bracha. So here he says something really, really interesting. He says, "Mikal makom mitzvah zo ein mekaymim." Again, I have no idea what that means. Women are responsible for all bad things, apparently, and it's their fault that there's something wrong with the moon. Okay? Although the Gemara says women do make the bracha. Okay? So it's out there. But here's the better answer. I don't know where I saw this. The better answer is... Yeah?
Oh, sorry, I guess you're about to give it. Sorry.
Well, I'll say it, and then you tell me if this is what you're about to say. One of the svaros out there, which is very compelling, is the reason why women can make a bracha on Mitzvah Shasman Groma, like lulav, like shofar, like sukkah, is because they make a bracha, and then they do a Maisa HaMitzvah. But with respect to Kiddush Levana, there's no Maisa HaMitzvah. The whole mitzvah is making the bracha. So here, there might be a reason for women not to do it. Because if they're peturos, they can't make the bracha. Again, you could be mechayiv yourself in an action. And so with respect to lulav, women make a bracha, and then they take a lulav. But here, there's nothing to take. So it seems like there's a reason for women to not make Kiddush Levana, even though they make brachas on all other mitzvot, aseh shazman grama. I don't know what the Rav would have said. In Rav Shachter, he just quotes the first part. I know it seems to me that you don't see women in shul and, you know, you don't see women being makbid on Kiddush Levana. My guess is it's for this reason, but I can't say for sure. It could just be that
there is an action
Saturday night.
There is an action. That's why we dance.
That's why you dance, because you think it's part of the mitzvah. Okay, I don't want to make fun of the dancing part.
Another reason brought down is that it's required to be outdoors, and mitzvahs that require public outdoorness, women are not obligated to do or encouraged to do. That's brought down regarding Chanukah. Also, menorah used to be lit outdoors, and therefore, yeah, that's what's brought down. I don't know.
I'll just tell you this: women light menorahs every place I've ever seen. So okay, whatever. It's no worse than Shimmy's idea. I'm not here to, you know. Whatever.
It would seem to me such a mitzvah that is so in line with women.
I know, but it's your fault, according to the Magen Avraham. Right? The Pegimah Salavana. I think there's a Rambam someplace that talks about, you know, women going outside for Kiddush Levana. Rambam's not a big feminist. Okay, I don't know. That's it. There's much to discuss there, but I want to make sure we're running out of time. It's almost Shabbos for me. I want to do some of the halachos because I love the fact that we fight about it. In my shul in Efrat, we fight about it every month. And I enjoy it. Here we go. Says the Mechaber in Tav Chavav, source number 10. Ein mevorchim al hayareach ela b'motzei Shabbat kishu mevusam u'begadav na'im. Here we finally come to something practical. Mechaber says you should say Kiddush Levana only on Motzei Shabbos because, I don't know, you're wearing perfume or cologne and you're wearing Shabbos clothes. It sounds like, you know, this is something unique and something special. The thing is, what happened to Zrizim Makdim in the mitzvos? What, you know, there's nothing we've seen that ties Kiddush Levana to any kind of date or day of the week. Okay? Now, that's the first issue. The second issue is when can you start saying it? So he says, the Rama says, Vidavka im leil motzi Shabbos hu kodem yud b'chodesh. Says the Rama, listen, we need to be realistic about this. We're not going to risk missing Kiddush Levana for this Hidur Mitzvah, let's call it, of doing it on a Saturday night. So he says, if that's the case, az mamtinin and motzi Shabbos. But if it's beforehand, so you wait for motzi Shabbos. Aval imu achar kach, right? If you're in shul on Thursday night and it's the 11th of the month, he says, just go say it on Thursday night or get your neighbors to say it with you. Because then ain't mamtinim ad motzei Shabbos. Why? Shema yihiyu bet leilot o gimel o dalit ananim, like the story of the Noda Yehuda, you could have three or four cloudy days in a row. V'lo yiru halivana v'yavar hazman. Okay, so he says you have to have common sense. This is, we don't have time to really beat it to death. This is a big discussion in Achronim. Rav Asher Weiss has a piece on this. How do you balance two competing values in halacha? On the one hand, it's clear that Hidur Mitzvah is to do it on Motzei Shabbos. We'll also see that Hidur Mitzvah... Just a second. It's in here! We'll also see that it has to do with how long you wait in the month. Meaning, we want to have what was referred to as a shayna levuna, right? We want to make a bracha on a nice looking moon. Okay, but how long, and we want to do it on a Motzei Shabbos. But some months, and certainly in the winter, you're going to put the whole thing at risk. So on the one hand, you have Hidur Mitzvah. I want to do it on a Motzei Shabbos when I'm wearing Shabbos clothes and I'm feeling great. I want to do it on a nice looking moon, not just on a tiny sliver. But what happens is reason makdim in the mitzvos. I want to do a mitzvah as soon as possible. I don't want to wait, right? So apparently there's no answer to that question, by which I mean you have to balance it. And we know this in our own lives. So for example, you know, there are from people who do bris milas right after Vatikin, first thing in the morning, because reason makdim in the mitzvos. And other people say, yeah, but, you know, it's nice to have the grandparents there. It's nice to have friends. That's Hidur Mitzvah, right? Same thing, for example, with Kvura. On the one hand, we want to bury the mace as quickly as possible. On the other hand, it's Kavod HaMace to have people at the funeral. So this isn't the only example of balancing Hidur Mitzvah against Reason Makdim in the Mitzvos. And here, you know, reason comes into play. Let's read more and you'll see. Here's just another interesting halacha. V'tole einav u'miyasher raglav u'mevarech. Okay, what does that mean? V'tole einav, you're supposed to look at the moon. And be miyasher raglav, put your feet together like Shmona Esrei and make a bracha. So, what's going on with the moon service? So look at 11. The Mishnah Berurah says, V'tole v'omer, kasa b'shiyur ha'knesses ha'gdolah. D'mashma l'chora, d'ad gmar kol ha-seder, tole'ei navba. He says, it sounds like you're supposed to look at the moon the whole time you're davening Kiddush Rabbana. And he says, v'chei noho galma. That's what we do. But another shita, aval, shama mishum sefer charedim, shehichmir b'zeh ma'od, milehistakel b'levana. But the sefer ha-charedim thought, like some most of us do, well, you don't want to stare at the moon. Below, it looks like you're davening to the moon. Below, he tir lehistakel ba, elo ad sheyisayim habracha. Okay, so the Sefer Charedim says, no, look at the moon during the bracha, but not beyond. V'hamogin Avram b'shem shalah hichmir og yoter, da'afilu b'shat habracha ein lo lehistakel ba, elo ro'e ota pa'am achat, right? My sense is that's how most of us do it, right? You come out, you look at the moon, and then you daven and you don't stare at the moon. So it's interesting. Basically, anything you do is supported by somebody. You know, again, I think we've moved away from staring at the moon for too long, but anything you do is supported by somebody. Okay. To make sure we get done, we'll skip some stuff. I'll just point out the following. My general theory of halacha is, this is a good example of it. And again, once you vote me in to be head of the religion, I will implement this. Here's the problem. Kiddush Levana is just one bracha. It's just the bracha that we quoted in the Rambam. It's not Shalom Aleichem. It's not David Melch Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. It's not a Gemara about, you know, Tzarech La, you have to stand up once. It's not any of the Shia Malistas. And my own feeling is, if we had left well enough alone, more people would say Kiddush Levana than they do. Because most people think, oh my God, it's so long. It's not so long. It's one bracha. Yes, we couldn't leave well enough alone, so we added a whole bunch of things to it. But if you're in a rush, if it's cold, for whatever reason, just know it's just a bracha. You are yotze, and even for shimmy, you're yotze even if you don't dance. I'll go out on a limb, and I will say right now, you could be yotze the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana without dancing. Of course, dancing may be the fun part, but you don't need it. Okay. How late in the month and how early in the month? Seif Gimel. Ad e matai mevachim aleha. So he says, as we learned already, ad yudvav miyom hamolad velo yudvav miklal. Right? It's 15 days from the molad. That's it. Okay. Now, miyom hamolad, says the Mishnah Berurah, lo dami miyom, it doesn't really mean from the day. Ela mishas hamolad maninu. Right? That's why it's good to know the molad, because if you're really stuck, this is one of the only halachos. It's 15 days from the moment of the molad. So if the molad was the day before Rosh Chodesh, you get on the 14th until exactly whatever time the molad appeared, 14 day or 15 days before. Okay, so if the molad is in the afternoon, you don't get no luck because you can't do Kiddush Levana in the afternoon. But you could do it till the night before. And if the molad was at 8 o'clock at night, then you can only say Kiddush Levana on the 15th. 8 o'clock at night. Okay. It's one of the rare times in halacha that we don't go on 24-hour cycles, but it goes from the moment of the molad. Okay. More importantly, 12. Ein mevarchim aleha ad sheyavru shivat yamim aleha. The Mechaber says, no saying Kiddush Levana until 7 days have passed since the molad. And the reason is clear, because the moon is big then, and you could get hana from the moon. And maybe this sort of supports the Shitas HaRambam, which is, it's a Birchas HaRe'iya, it's a Birchas Hodah, right? You want to have like a real moon. The Ramah says, in addition, Ve'ein Mikashin Alavona Tachas Agag. You're not supposed to do it indoors. It's not 100% clear how we paskin. Okay? But here's the Mishnah Berurah. Ad Sheyavru Zayin, says the Mishnah Berurah, V'rov HaAchronim Pligi Al Zeh. Most Achronim disagree about waiting till the seventh day. Ula Ditu, for us, I'll explain. This is important. Halacha l'maisa. Says the Mishnah Berurah, we paskin that you can say Kiddush Levana exactly 72 hours after the molad. Again, it's not a date-based halacha. That's why it matters. If the molad was Erev Rosh Chodesh, so you could already say Kiddush Levana on the second day of the month if it's 3 full days after the molad. That's important to know. The idea that you can only say it on the fourth of the month is wrong. That's not the halacha. Sometimes you could say Kiddush Levana on the third of the month. It has to do with the molad. Okay? Now, why do you have to wait 72 hours? So he says, Shenehanim kvar me'ora, then yesh levarech aleha. Because a tiny sliver, it's hard to get hana. You don't really have enough light from the moon if it's a tiny sliver. Much better to wait till it's larger. Okay? But you don't miss the mitzvah. It's still the beginning. So he says, yeah, it's probably best to wait for Motzei Shabbos, but not at the risk of missing Kiddush Levana entirely. So that's really interesting, because I think, the way it plays out and reading other things, I think there's a big difference. I think in Israel, where you're absolutely sure during 6 months of the year that you're not going to have cloudy nights, you're not going to have consecutive cloudy nights, it seems that it's obvious you can wait later in the month. And you can wait even till the second Shabbos and the 10th of the month to do it on a Motzei Shabbos, because that's Hidur Mitzvah. And there's no risk. But I think in the winter here, and maybe in America where you can't rely on these things, doing it after the third is a safer way of making sure that you'll do Kiddush Levana. Because if you don't do it then, you run a chance of missing it. And let's admit it, the strange halachos, right? What are the 2 months in which the fewest number of Jews say Kiddush Levana? The answer is Tishrei and Av. Because we have these bizarre halachas. You shouldn't make Kiddush Levana before Yom Kippur. Okay, but a lot of times after Yom Kippur, people are hungry. you shouldn't, or the real halacha is you're not supposed to say Kiddush Levana when you're fasting, or you don't want to say Kiddush Levana before Tisha B'Av. Okay, but then you can't say it right after Tisha B'Av. It's bizarre. So, you know, there is something to being aware of Kiddush Levana and trying to do it earlier in the month. You know, again, the fight in our shul has been resolved in favor of the good guys, and we say Kiddush Levana after the third day of the month. I just feel like Zrizin Makdim and the Mishnah Berurah is good enough that the moon is big enough 72 hours after the, you know, after the Molad. But if it's really 72 hours and it's the summer and you know you're going to be able to do it next Motzei Shabbos, and next Motzei Shabbos is really only the 9th or the 10th of the month anyway, I think in the balance it works out. Okay, so very quickly, we saw the fundamental Chakira. Is it obligatory? The Noda Behuda. Is it a Birchas HaShevach or Birchas HaRoah? That's the Rambam. We translated the Baruch. We did a whole bunch of interesting things. And now we have to stop because it's Shabbos. Yashkach to everybody. There's some chats here. I don't know what. Mola's given us juice and time, but I think Kiddush Levana is 50 days from your local time. Yeah, but nobody knows what.